when I first heard about this particular Free Fringe show in the Free Festival, this event, it was called a Clock Face Exhibition. And it's probably the one that intrigued me the most, which is why we're having a chat here. I'm here in Fringe Central talking to...
Bryn Mitchell.
And your role is...
Director.
Director and...
Ashley Gillis, and I'm one of the performers in the piece.
Does director mean dictator?
I wish it did sometimes. Sometimes it's not so much a dictatorship, but a constant flurry of bending to everyone's expenses. I wish it was more of a dictatorship, but I'm afraid it's not in this industry at the moment, especially when you're asking your actors to work for free.
Yeah. But what I heard from an interview I did earlier here is that in the one version is it's the boss, but the other one it's not. You're sort of facilitator that helps the thing find direction.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, really, I mean, Ashley is an actor within the piece, but she's also very much a hands-on producer of the piece as well. So I've had a hell of a lot of help from her. But mainly it's just making sure people turn up on time and say the right things when flyering at the moment, because all the fun stuff of the actual directing the show has all been done well in advance.
Ashley, you don't seem like a stuffy actor.
I'm not. No, I'm not. It's kind of funny because, like Bryn says, I'm not just an actor, so we've had to kind of take on a lot of different roles. And because I'm the only Scottish person in the cast and company, I kind of took on the role. I know the Fringe quite well. The Fringe is my second home. I've grown up around here, so I kind of took on the role of producing this production. So I've not really had the chance to be a stuffy actor.
Of course, if Nicola Sturgeon gets away, this is going to be an international performance, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. Which is ironic, because we are graduates of the World Performance Course in East 15. So international theatre is what we're all about.
It's around the corner from where I grew up. So tell me about a Clock Face exhibition.
It's a piece of verbatim theatre based on interviews that Bryn and his girlfriend, the writer Georgie, did at a CA meeting.
What's CA?
Cocaine Anonymous. And she's a poet, Georgie Desuis. She's a poet, and she's arranged these interviews into verse. So you have the true stories, but you have this like sort of beautiful poetic structure. And the audience are brought into what is essentially a CEA meeting, and they sort of become participants in this activity. And we all share our stories and sort of open the floor. I mean, if they want to share their stories, there's space for it.
But also that's verbatim, because people are talking, but also the verse, it was rendered in verse, but are these still the original words of what people told you?
Yeah, they are. She's just sort of gotten a bit smart about where lines go. So it literally is just an arrangement for... Because she writes a lot of poetry. She's a published poet. She has a WordPress website. And she produces a lot of other theatre as well. We're doing a couple of shows at the minute, so we've got our hands a bit full.
And so in terms of directing this and performing in it, what does doing it in verse enable that just a straight script wouldn't have done?
What it allows to do is, because the show is... I mean, extremely immersive. Like, we've had people come out of the audience saying that they actually thought they were in the meeting. So what it kind of does is it brings you out of the world just for a minute, just for that split second for you to realise what's actually going on in these stories, only to then be thrust back into the actual action.
Also, as an actor, it makes it really, really easy to learn the lines, because it's poetic verse, so it's a lot easier to go in. It's great.
Is there a danger of getting so immersed in it yourselves that, you lose yourselves in it?
Yeah, that actually sort of happened on our first night at the Edinburgh Fringe show. And what that is kind of, that becomes a bit self-indulgent then, and it's actually not a great performance. I think we still have to, our director, Bryn, told us the next day, he was like, well, I want you to remember that these people are real people, and you're telling their stories. It's not you... having a bit of a great time on stage by yourself. Like, you have to enjoy it. Other people have to enjoy it, and you have to invite them into that story. So, yeah, there is a danger of that.
I guess if I'm just here at the Fringe and I'm used to sitting down with the fourth wall up and watching something happen, and this is immersive, and I'm a bit nervous and a bit shy, should I stay clear of this, or why should I still go?
Not at all, no. I mean, it's immersive in the sense that you're a participant, but it's not like individual characters. I mean, the stories themselves are individual, but because these things are so communal, you come at it as a group. And not only, you listen to these individual stories, but you're actually going along on the journeys with them. So not at one stage do you feel isolated. You are going on a journey with the whole audience, with everyone, with the actors, with myself, with anyone that's in that room at that time.
And in terms of portraying that addiction, you know, have you met addicts? Have you been with them? I'm not asking you personally if you've had experience, but I guess to make it believable, particularly if audience are coming in with their own experiences, how do you make sure that this isn't well-intentioned but not accurate? How do you make it real, live, visceral, authentic?
So what we did is lucky enough, some of the addicts who we actually interviewed, we did get in contact with a few of them, some of the actors. Who were more willing to go the extra mile, did end up meeting them and finding out some of their tics and things like this, which really gave the characters a sense of being three-dimensional. We also did a hell of a lot of research regarding things like triggers that these people, when they relapse, like what can happen. So it's not just the information that's given to us in the script that these people have given us and what Georgie has manifested, but it's also... It's also, you know, finding out what these backstories are. So the audience is, as I said, getting a three-dimensional character, not this two-dimensional character with just saying words.
Did some of those people come and see the show?
So we had a few of them. I can't obviously mention their names because they would rather not. But, I had a few come along and they said it was as close to the real thing that they've ever been to than actually going to the meetings themselves.
And in terms of it being immersive theatre then, you know, do you prefer that as a performer? Do you actually prefer the audience to be among you? Or, you know, at one end, but, you know, in the traditional fourth wall, there is a sort of, well, maybe a safer distance.
I completely agree. Because actually, everybody gets performer's nerves, but during this show, it is a lot more intimidating because you're so close to them and you don't have the distance, and it is quite scary. But then at the same time, it's sort of easier to connect with them. One of the funny things that we've had feedback-wise is about the eye contact. So the director wanted us to make eye contact with everybody that we spoke to. He was really, you know, he really wanted that connection. But a lot, we get mixed reviews on that. Some people come out and they're like, oh, it really pulled me in. Like, I was so invested in what I was listening to. You captivated me. But then other people, it made them feel so incredibly uncomfortable. I don't know, it is a bit... For me, it's a bit frightening, but it's exciting, actually, if anything.
And I guess there are people that will see this that have got genuine experiences and stories to share, and other people that are going to watch this. But what comes back to the audience? Is your aim to disrupt, make people think again, you know, behave differently? Are you offering them advice through this, in a way, through the drama of this is how you could be, in a way that might resolve things for you?
It's more of making people aware. At no point in the show do we mention... do we slander these people? Do we slander the substances as they're taken? We're just telling the situation that these people have found themselves in. And especially how the media portray these people is that, you know, they're not people you want to bump into. When actually they could be anyone. We've all got the ability to become addicted to something. It's just understanding that some of these people may need help, and when they need help, offering a hand.
What about that media stuff? There have been films, there's TV shows all the time that portray in a very selective way, in a way a lot of people say, you know, caricatures and distorts. Have you had to suggest that stuff away, or have you used it?
So the first thing that we found when going to the meetings is they are not the people that the media portray they are. They are businessmen, they are people in law and order, they are teachers, they're mums, daughters, sons, fathers. They're
living in Brighton, they're bloody millionaires with flats on the seafront.
Exactly, so it can be anywhere, it can be any of the classes, it can be any race, it can be anyone, and it's just seeing those people in pain and, yeah, being able to help them.
How do you get into character?
Well, I have a kind of poignant way of doing it because the character that I play, she passed away, actually. She took her own life shortly after the script was written. And I, upon finding that out, wrote her a letter. And I read that every day before I do the performance. That's like my way to connect to Christine. That's my character's name, but not a real name.
That must have hit you quite hard.
Yeah, much more so than I thought it would. And I found out the night after our first performance. So it did take, because we'd been working with the script for about a year before we ever performed it. So that you, I don't know, you just, my character, she has two children. She's really lonely. She's like sort of isolated from her family. And then to hear that was sort of how she ended up, I just felt so, this incredible pain for her. And that, you know, so I did feel a bit more pressure to do her justice then, though, because I was like, I just don't want, you know, I'm a really spiritual person, so I didn't want the thought of her looking down on me going, good knows, what is she doing with my words?
So the process of making work like this, important work, and I'm not trying to fire you, but is there a point at which then the director just steps away and it runs?
I think we've got to a stage now in the piece where I'm more than confident justice take a step back now. Now and again, an outsider view, just to rein everyone back in. Like, we did really well. We went to the Camden Fringe and a few of us got a bit lackluster and a bit very pleased with the reviews we got and kind of got a bit self-indulging. But again, that's my job to see that, fix it, and then ready for the next performance. And that's why I think a director's there, because he's looking at something the actors can't see, and that's themselves.
But is there a point at which, you know, you just say, I'm just heading off now, you know, good luck?
Never. I always need to be employed.
it's a job. Final question then, you know, it's kind of bringing it right back to the beginning. Your people in the world too, you know, families, children out in the world. What have you learned most from doing this piece?
For me, is acceptance, allowance, just being kind to people, even if they're not kind to you. I think that's something, and everyone needs help, even if they don't ask for it. People need help, and sometimes it just takes longer for some people to realise that than others.
Yeah, I mean, it would be like tolerance and empathy. Because I think, especially in Scotland, we have quite a narrow-minded view of people with these issues. In particular, we have words like junkie or jakey, and we write them off completely. But they have a story. They've had a life. They've had a reason that's brought them to this point. And I think, like, this particular production sort of opened my eyes to that. And I mean, that makes me look bad, but this is how we learn, I suppose. And just to be a bit more respectful and understanding, because we'll all be better off if we could do that.
And just a reminder to all of us up here with 3,000 shows that powerful, important, relevant theatre isn't just to be found at the £20 a ticket go, but you can find it in the Free Fringe, and it's just as important. Mm-hmm. So thank you for talking to us about a Clockface exhibition.